Hello, everyone. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we have Thursday, May 16th, 2024. This is the World Peace Diet Circle, and I'm delighted to share the third Thursday evening. We're in California. We're back home. And you folks, I know some of you are in California. Some are in Florida. Some are in Massachusetts. And I don't know, lots of other, Tennessee, I think, and Michigan, and Kansas. And maybe we'll be getting Davi from London. She usually joins us. But anyway, I'll go ahead and get started, I think. It's a beautiful day here, and I'm delighted to see you all. It's a lot happening in the last month, as usual. So what we like to do normally, as you know, is have a meditation time. What you just heard, if you were listening, if you could hear it, I'm not sure if it was playing. I think it was. The music was Animal Song CD. That was the deer song, which has, since deer don't have, make a lot of noises, we had the whole forest there. You could hear the woodpecker. And we've been having that around here where we live. The woodpeckers are pecking away, thankfully. So, let's go ahead and have the meditation. The plan is for today is after the meditation, Madeline will join us for a few minutes and talk about the food, vegan food and gardening a little bit. And then we'll open it up for any questions or concerns or comments or celebrations anyone has and see what Spirit has in store here. So, all right, I think we'll go ahead and get started with the meditation. So please make yourselves comfortable, and I'm so delighted that I'm right here at Yuma, our wonderful piano, looking out over the lake, and we can begin. All right, so become aware of our breathing. With every exhalation, allowing ourselves to relax into the heart of being, entering into our own heart, where we dwell always in this present moment, abiding in our true home of love, compassion, joy and peace, abundance, awareness, gratitude, and harmony. Abiding in the remembrance of our true nature. What we are was never born and can never die. We are the light that makes all these shadow appearances possible. The shadows on the walls of the cave. Light that makes the movie possible. Abiding in our heart. Knowing that the outer heart of the physical body that we are abiding in and using. Is the seat of wisdom, of understanding and awareness, of enlightened consciousness. The sun shining into every cell of our being, bringing healing and joy, vitality, abundance, and freedom into every cell of our being and into all of our affairs, to help us to actualize our purpose for this lifetime, for the benefit of all living beings of the past, present, and future. We give thanks for all of the friends and colleagues in our life, the human ones, all the animal ones, the wild and free living ones, the companion ones, the whole web of life here. All the beings that we see and that we do not see. And we radiate appreciation to them and know that our life is dedicated to the fulfillment of the highest potential that we have, to be a beacon in the world in our own unique way, to be the hands and the heart and the words and the actions of liberation of animals and of humans, of all living beings, that we are blessed with whatever qualities that we need to fulfill our mission, with all the resources and connections, relationships, and life lessons, all the teachers, all the accidents, knowing there are no accidents. Opening to the infinite wisdom of our true nature, discernment and understanding. And so we send forth now from our heart our love for the unique being that we are, in the process of awakening every day, ever more fully. So the fully realized expression of life, truth and wisdom and creativity that we are, collaborating and learning and contributing with each other, to fulfill the destiny that we have. So we give thanks for all of the influences in our life, both in the past and in the future, and relax now into the true home that we always are fulfilling ever more fully, our true home of love, breathing and radiating loving kindness in all directions to all living beings. May all beings be happy and at peace. May all beings be free from the delusions that cause suffering. Abiding in benevolence and goodwill, abiding in love. And with every inhalation now, we engender the feeling of compassion. And as we exhale, we radiate compassion, the whole web of life, knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Understanding that we ourselves are dedicated to doing whatever we can to help relieve the suffering of others. And we celebrate this awareness that our hearts are open and that we have this opportunity of a precious human birth to shine the light of compassion in our unique way into this world, abiding in compassion. With every inhalation, we engender the feeling of joy. And now as we exhale, breathing out joy, the great joy of being. Abiding in our true home of joy, savoring the beauty all around us and within us, abiding in joy, and finally now with every inhalation we engender the feeling of peace, and as we exhale we radiate peace. All living beings, may all beings be at peace. And we see the whole earth bathe in the light of peace, faith in the light of truth. Abiding in our true home of love, compassion, joy, and peace. We give thanks for this moment and for each day we have to more fully ripen the truth seeds that are within us through the power and presence of the Infinite Spirit of life and love. We give thanks, knowing this is so. So it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining together in our meditation time. And we are now blessed to have Madeline, as I said earlier, joining us for a few minutes to talk about our food forest. I want to share something just quickly. This is the, I think you can see it maybe. Let's see if you can see. Our picture of Madeline was just a few hours ago when she came in. Ta-da! All those nice greens from the garden. That was this afternoon, and then of course she did the same thing this morning. Brought in, let's see if I have the other ones. That's this morning. Look at that! I mean, this is celery, grapefruit, and then these are all mulberries from our mulberry tree. And strawberries, yeah. This is basically kale, a bunch of kale, all different kinds of kale, right? And chard, or just kale, maybe. Anyway, we're eating so many greens and herbs. Yeah, we're just like really eating a lot of fresh veggies. So, Madeline, here she is.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Good to see you. Hello. I just came in from the garden, took a quick shower, and here I am. Nothing special. So I like to share with you how wonderful it is to deal with plants and the earth, and how wonderful not only it is to get the harvest, and enjoy the taste of these fresh goodies, but also the joy of actually doing it. And it's just something miraculous one touches the hands on to deal with the earth and with plants.
To grow, help grow them.
Yeah. So I would encourage you, even if you only have a planter, like if you're living in an RV, you can have a planter, just a little planter, which you take in at night if you need to go somewhere or so.
Or sprouts.
The sprouts, we talked already a lot. One can always do sprouts, but just really doing something under the sun. Oh, look at you. What do you have there?
A flower.
I can't see it really what it is.
There we go.
A planter with in there. Oh, you will do that.
Some seeds.
Yes, great. Wonderful,
at least,
Lisa.
At Lisa,
yeah, wonderful. So, and even Like in the States, it's different than in Europe or in big cities here, like New York, LA or something. There is always a little bit of land. One can have bigger planters, maybe have an agreement with the landlord or so, or have on a balcony. When I lived in Japan, I saw how people, these Japanese, they're masters because they have very little land and they have balconies and they have the planters on the balconies and grow cucumbers and they go up the railings and up to the roof and harvest every day cucumbers and they have greens and all that. I mean, this was so inspiring for me to see how one actually, if one is serious about planting something, it's possible. And I think it's very important nowadays to not be just totally dependent on the stores. Also, it doesn't taste that good, even if it's organic, it's not the same. But if one is dependent and one just goes always to the store, it's like when in these days it could suddenly something happen and then you can't go to the store. What do you do then?
Go to the farmer's market.
Yeah, go to the farmer's market. That's a great thing if you have a farmer's market close by. And like we'll always say, just at least grow your own sprouts. So that's very important. So that's actually all I like to say. And if anybody has a question, they can ask me right now.
Otherwise, it's
Will.
And you're going to make maybe a little film again this year?
I always do our food forest. It's really beautiful.
You have to do a little.
How do you cook greens?
Ooh.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Easy.
Just, you know, we have these pans. They're surgical steels.
Health
and
craft.
It's a waterless cooking without oil, without anything. So maybe a tiny little bit of water, just a couple of spoonfuls, and then put the greens in, cut them, we don't even have to take the stems out. They're so tender. Everything is really tender, what we have. And then you just steam them slightly and put olive oil. I mean, we just put a little olive oil on and tamari and then put this over some grains or potatoes and it tastes so good. We have it every day since we're home. We eat every day kale and Swiss chard. We have so much, but we're always looking forward because you know how to do it, but like this, it tastes really good. And you don't have to soak them totally into oil. Just be gentle, but it's really good with the tamari together. It's absolutely delicious.
That's what I wanted to hear. That was helpful. Thank you so much, Madeline.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening, and here is Will again.
Thanks. Oh, well, beautiful, sweetheart. Thanks. Yeah, it was kind of funny to say we put a little olive oil on them because we really don't use much oil, but we have an old friend that we knew years ago. His name is Brooke Hazen, and a remarkable person. And he bought some land in Sebastopol, about an hour and a half, hour away maybe from here, and 30 acres, no, how much? Quite a lot, 100 acres, I think. And over the years, he's built up a fantastic organic olive oil plantation. It's called Gold Ridge Farm, Organic Farms. And so just out of the blue, he reached out to me recently, and so we went over there. We drove over to see him. And we got this whole tour of this beautiful organic olive oil plantation where, and he, the olive oil he makes, when it's like in the last 5 years, every single year in New York City and LA, when they have the international competition of the best olive oil in the whole country, he always wins. Every single year he wins first prize. He's got all these awards. His olive oil is unbelievable. And he's a vegan. And it's all, you know, so he's like a total animal rights activist, vegan, and he makes like this incredible olive oil. So we were like never eating olive oil, but we went there. Then we had an olive oil tasting. So we actually sat at this table and they brought out, this is, you know, whatever the year and the type and all these different olives from Greece. He's got these, and so I learned, you know, we learned about the different flavors of olive oil and all this stuff. And the funny thing was, and then normally, I guess he does these tastings all the time, and so there was this professional woman that was actually kind of doing it. That's her job, to do tastings there. She's got this really amazing place. And at the very end, there's olive oil left over. You know, you don't take all of it. And so they're in these little cups. And so we didn't want it, but so they were just going to throw it away, you know. And we were like, no, we won't throw it away. We'll put it in something and take it home with us, you know. And he was so touched. He said, you know, we've been doing this for like 15 years, and no one ever did that. No one ever, like, they always just let us throw it away. No one ever did that. So he gave us 2 gallons of olive oil. I mean, it probably would have cost an arm and a leg. It's really expensive stuff. So now we have, like, when we have olive oil, like, coming out of our ears. So we're having a little bit every day. You know, it's one of these funny stories in a way, but he's a beautiful person. It's a neat thing to see someone who really works in harmony with the earth and doesn't use any herbicides or pesticides, and he's totally vegan, and he has these events there where he has vegan pizzas that he serves for people and an art gallery. He has art and different things, a whole cultural thing. So anyway, in fact, he's invited us to go there and give a lecture promoting veganism because he has events in his event center. So that's kind of a neat thing. So all these things, it's one of those things. You know, you just never know where a door is going to open or what's going to happen next. But we're careful. We don't eat too much because it's not really a good idea to eat a lot of oil. I mean, it's kind of refined. It is a refined food. So we're judicious. So this is going to last a long time. But it is really good. So anyway, does anyone have any pressing questions? Let's see. What's his name again? You can go to, his name is Brooke, B-R-O-O-K, Hazen, H-A-Z-E-N. It's Gold Ridge Organic Farms, right? Is that right, sweetheart? Gold Ridge or Golden Ridge? Gold Ridge. Yeah, Gold Ridge Organic Farms. You just go there. I think you can order online. Yeah. Yeah, he gave us this bottle. You can see. Yeah. Yeah. Gold Ridge Organic. He also makes, he also has apples and cider. He has this incredible organic olive oil pressing room. And all of the equipment's from Greece or Italy or somewhere over in Europe, in Italy. And so people come from all over the whole county or all over Northern California, you know, to press their olive oil there. If they have olives, you know, they come to his place. And, it's really amazing. He's got, quite an operation there. And he also has a, you know, cause I lived in a 1971 Volkswagen bus for quite a few years. And he has a 1969 Volkswagen bus that he's renovated, so it's really cool. But anyway, so you know, vegan life should be good. I mean, we should be, I think, in many ways, celebrating the beauty of the earth. That's one of the things I like about what Madeline was just saying. You know, we have this food forest. We moved here. We don't have a lot of land. Maybe a quarter of an acre we have devoted to this food forest, but it's just wonderful to see, you know, we're up to about 76, I think, fruit and nut trees and the 6 raised beds and lots of other. Today I dug holes. It's like going to the gym. You know, I dug holes for, for two new golden raspberry plants and we're going to be planting four kiwi plants. And they're going to go over the driveway on this. I'm making this whole construction. So there's always something to do. You know, there's something, you know, you're planting and harvesting and weeding and, you know, it's quite a thing. Madeline's out there a lot, and we both are, especially her. And but the underlying idea is that we're doing our best to work with the natural cycles of nature and really the natural abundance. The basic idea that plants can be our teachers. You know, that's the thing. I'm going to be doing an event on, I think, a week from Friday. You can check it out. It's on our website under upcoming events. It's an online event. There's this really interesting it's an organization called the Carolo Center for Nonviolence, started by a woman. She's got quite a big staff, and it's all about educating toward nonviolence, and veganism is part of it. I wasn't really aware of them before, but it's one of those things that I've been in this movement for over 40 years, and I hadn't heard of them. But she reached out to me. She said, "We're doing an online thing as part of our educational, and we would like to do a whole event about plants, plant consciousness, the consciousness of plants." Because a lot of people say, "Well, you know, plants have feelings too. So you're killing carrots, and you know, that's terrible, and you know, that whole thing." And you know, and usually we say, "Oh, that's ridiculous. They don't have feelings," you know. But the whole idea is, well, maybe they do, you know. I mean, we don't know. So the idea is to kind of go deeper with plants as teachers on some level. And I think there's a lot to talk about on that. Actually, I think it's a very interesting concept. We know that animals are sentient; that they're suffering. But what about if, like, in our food forest, like, what's happening there, for example? Like, I mean, can we grow food in a way that really is nonviolent, actually? I mean, you know, can we do that? I mean, because a lot of people say, well, there's always going to be violence. You try to minimize your violence. And I know that's true. I'm sure that's true. On some level, we're harming things. But at a deeper level, I think there's a tremendous cooperative spirit that we can cultivate with the plants that we get to know, that they perhaps do have a consciousness in the sense of being more aware than we are aware of, and that they would like to be with us and cooperate with us. Because most of them are giving, like all the fruits, for example, all these plants, we're eating mainly fruits, like vegetables are fruit. Most of the vegetables are all fruits. The leaves, like we take from these plants, I mean, you keep cutting leaves and they keep putting out more leaves. You know, I mean, it's an interesting thing, but they keep doing it. And then all the eggplants and peppers and tomatoes, and you know, they're all fruits. So the plants are giving, they're giving so much, and they make it quite pretty, you know, I mean, attractive to us, right? I mean, we're spreading the seeds and so forth. So I think even beyond that, there's maybe an intelligence, a deeper intelligence where they get to know us. I've talked about that before on here, so I won't go into it too much. Gino, you have your hand up for a little while, so I'd like to not ignore you here. So, yeah.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I was just thinking when you were just talking about plants having feelings, et cetera, and you must remember, like, back in the mid-70s, they had these experiments they were doing where they would have some plants in a room, and they would play like really heavy rock music, and the plants would like droop, and then they would play like symphonic music, and they would all just be wonderful.
Yeah.
You remember that way back when?
I do remember that. In fact, somebody just sent me a video about that whole thing. And that prompted me to really make sure I open the window when I play the piano here, so all the trees can hear it out in the garden, because I think, you know, that's true. This video that I saw, it said that there was a guy back in the 70s or maybe it was the late 60s, early 70s, who just had this idea that in the morning when the birds start singing, there's certain sounds and vibratory frequencies that they're just generating, and that maybe that's part of the natural vitalization of plants. And so he started experimenting with a loudspeaker out to his corn. He was a corn farmer, and it showed this photograph. His neighbors thought he was kind of nutty because he started playing classical music. And his corn, instead of being like 6 feet high, was like 10 feet high. I mean, it was like massive. It was like so high, it was ridiculous. And so everybody came from miles around to see this, and he just had music playing. And it was like just spectacular. And he found that other plants that he did, is not just the corn, but other ones, they would grow, they would give more fruit, and they would, you know, and all that. And he found that the best music, it seemed like, was Bach's Brandenburg Concertos, which are just so, I mean, if you listen to those, it's such happy music, you know, it's like, yeah. It's just a really, you know, just very melodious, and I guess it has the right frequency. So he was playing that, and it's funny how that, like you say, it was just something back in the crazy hippie days. But I think there's probably a lot of truth to it. You know, I mean, who knows? There's more to this world than we live in a world of scientific reductionism where we don't see how that could make any difference, so we ignore it. You know, it kind of interferes with the scientific worldview. But I think it's a good point. So thanks for bringing that up.
Sure. But the main thing I wanted to say here was I watched your two-part interview with Reverend Carol Saunders.
Yes.
And it was so good. And, of course, the information you were giving, all that was, you know, par excellence as always. And I really liked Carol Saunders. She's a very intelligent woman, and she knows a lot of things. And her questions were just perfect. And she would give her own feedback and opinions and everything. And I really liked her. So what I was getting is she's a reverend with a Unity Church.
Okay. She's an ordained Unity minister.
Okay.
She is based in Wisconsin, I believe it is. And so she had, actually, it's past tense. She had her own church for quite a few years there in somewhere in Wisconsin, and but during COVID. She was a really anti-masker and everything. And so she just, the congregation didn't want to go there, and they kind of had a parting of the way. She said, all right, you guys, you can do it your way. I'm done. if you want to wear masks and do all that, you know, go ahead. And so, COVID was a big stress on a lot of churches. So she has now with more of, I guess you'd call an alternative ministry, and she puts on a big conference once a year at Unity Village promoting veganism. That's like one of her main things she does. I spoke the very first year she did it, which I think was 3 years ago. Judy Carman has been there every year. Some other people that maybe have been here, I can't remember, Renee from Rowdy Girl. But anyway, she puts on a really good conference because the founders of Unity, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were totally vegetarian. And right. In the early 1900s, they were actually vegan. You maybe heard me talk about this, but they even came out with a Bible that had a plastic cover, kind of. So no leather. They were kind of pioneers, but it's all been completely forgotten in the Unity movement. People, most ministers eat meat and encourage everybody not to think about it. But she is one of the only ones that's really a vegan. So that's her story a little bit.
Great. Thank you. One quick question. I am researching Asheville, North Carolina for a potential place to move to.
Yes.
And I see they have quite a spiritual center there. They're also a vortex, much like Sedona, all that good stuff. Have you ever spoken anywhere there in Asheville?
Oh, yeah, a lot. Yeah, a
really?
Lot. A lot,
can
yeah.
Can you just say where you were when you spoke?
Sure. I mean, there's a Unity Church just outside of Asheville. It's the main Asheville church, and it's fantastic. I've spoken there quite a bit. I've played concerts there, done workshops, and we've been there many times over the years. And then there's another church downtown, the Celebration or something. I can't remember the name. It's totally independent. Of course, this is all before COVID, but there's like these two guys moved to Asheville and they just started this Sunday morning, like spiritual gathering. And I spoke there once and played the piano, and it was kind of a wild thing. It was like a really free form, creative, kind of a exuberant thing. And I also gave a lecture there promoting veganism, later, more recently, but it was all before COVID. And then, there's quite a vegan movement. I've spoken at their, Veg Fest. They have annual Veg Fest. This was before COVID too. But I did. I spoke at their Veg Fest, and they have a big macrobiotic community there. So I spoke again there to the macrobiotic people. I have a friend who's a vegan who has a lot of land. He's got probably 100 acres of land just outside Asheville, and he would like to make a vegan community. Actually, he's a really interesting guy. His name is Sean, and he travels a lot in a Mercedes Sprinter, but he's got this land, and we talk about it from time to time. How to create a community, but it's really beautiful. I've seen lots of pictures of his land because it has waterfalls, it has a river, a stream going through it, and waterfalls, and it's really a beautiful piece of land. And so he wants to do something, but he's not exactly sure how. So there's quite a few things. And we have some friends from here, where we live in Hidden Valley Lake, Raggio and Vinit. They went to Asheville from here, from Northern California, and started a center there that's thriving. I mean, you can go to their website. I can't remember what it's called. But they have events going all the time. They bought a little land outside of Asheville. And put up they have a bunch of Airbnbs and they have, meditations and spirit dance kind of stuff and people giving lectures and just all kinds of stuff going on regularly. It's called, something like that. I'll think of it. But, it's a place that I think it has a lot of potential, really. So,
I've been to Asheville a good number of times. It's not too far from Nashville. And it's totally, it's totally beautiful. Lots of great vegan community. I got turned off just because during the COVID years, they were, very, very politically correct and very, just on board with the mainstream narrative. So that, it was a real turn off to me. So, it was unfortunate because it kind of, tainted Asheville for me, because prior to then I really, it's beautiful, like the mountains. And I went to a Wim Hof workshop actually outside of Asheville at this like funky little, place called Mandala Springs, which is like a retreat center that was just like this wacky, it was neat, sort of a cult, but a good experience. But yeah, I mean, Asheville is beautiful. I don't know how it is now, but yeah. Pardon me?
I think that's a good point. It had the same problem. It was kind of like Portland and Berkeley and San Francisco, down the tube.
Yeah. But that said, I mean, the place, Mandala Springs, where I went for that workshop, the people at that event, and that was in like 2020 or 2021, they were questioners. They were, they hadn't bought into it. So, I'm sure if you know people, I'm sure they were there. But
right.
Thank you, Chrissy, very much. I get a good vibe on that. And Will, thank you also. I'll get back to you about these two friends that you mentioned that have something outside of Asheville. I'll get back to you to get their names. I'd like to know.
Yeah, I'm.
Can you hear me?
Right now, but I think it's better if.
Yeah, it might be. Oh, yeah. It's called Samasati. If you look it up, S-A-M-A-S-A-T-I, Samasati Sanctuary.
Okay. Great.
That they have a website.
All right.
And you can find out more there. Pretty, I mean, Vineet, the husband, is, he's, I think he's vegan. Raggio is a little more, less vegan. but that's how they were. I'm not sure how it is now. But they're definitely kind of, you know, open, I think, somewhat.
Thank you so much.
Anything else? Anyone has a question? Let's see. Yeah. Ann, go ahead.
There, I need to unmute. Okay.
Perfect. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, I also have enjoyed the talk with Carol Saunders and another talk, which now I can't remember the name of the lady. But anyway, I'm enjoying your, you know, the
energy. Oh, yeah, I know the one you mean. It's Yerneya. Yerneya, probably.
Yeah, kind of long, dark hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful the way you described the, what's happened over the past few years with people psychologically. But anyway, my reason now for asking a question is, in the notes, you shared an article about the, the live blood analysis.
Right.
And not only in, it was in relation to meat or not meat eating, but it just sounds like it upset me so much last night that I could hardly function because, you know, whether you know, no matter what you eat, whether you've stayed away from this lethal injection and even wildlife, it looks like there's evidence that there are effects in live blood, you know, from the toxins and from the whatever this live nanoparticle polymer is. I guess I am just, I find that so demoralizing. And because, you know, I had the feeling, well, we're doing our best, we're staying away from these things, but yet when you combine the, you know, toxins in the air, the rain, the poisoning of the skies with geoengineering, the food, it just sounds like it may be infecting all life. And what is a way to transcend that spiritually? Okay, if we think there's nothing new under the sun, surely this is something that God can handle. Or is there, like, how do you deal with that in a spiritual way and have confidence that there is some way that we can transcend this on some level?
Right.
Whatever thoughts you have about that are welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. You know, that's a really good question. Yeah. There are some researchers, as you say, Anna, her name is, I don't know how you pronounce her last name, Mihailka.
Yes.
Yeah. She's one of the main people who's just really, she's a, you know, microbiologist and does live blood analysis, and people, you know, she was saying, you know, kind of really making a big thing early on that people who have gotten the COVID vaccine have these self-assembling things that she sees in their blood. And they get long and, you know, and they seem to be guided by or connected to somehow possibly EMF fields as well. But then she found them in people who were not vaccinated also. And especially like children of parents that were vaccinated, that was the first thing. You know, she figured they're in such close contact, you know. And then I think the one you're talking about, she was finding them in meat eaters that were unvaccinated. So I was like, oh good, I'm glad I'm a vegan. I'm vegan and unvaccinated. Okay, I'm safe. but like you say, you know, it's really hard.
Well, there was one of a squirrel. Just a wild squirrel, a random wild squirrel.
A wild squirrel also. Yeah. I think, there could be, you know, some people are saying that some of this could be, in the polymer or in polymers that are being dispersed through chemtrails or in the water somewhere or in air pollution. I mean, I think it's a lot of mysterious things happening. And I think you're right in the sense that there is a poisoning that is going on. I think it's pretty deliberate. Basically, it's a kind of a deliberate poisoning of humanity.
Yep.
There's been Kissinger talked about it way back in the 70s. It became an official position of the United States government to reduce the world population. I mean, that's like, you know, for the last 50 years, one of the goals has been to reduce population. So how do you do that? You know, you have wars, I guess, or you poison people, you know, or make it very difficult for people to have children, you know, and all of these things are happening. I mean, the birth rates are absolutely plummeting lately. It's very difficult for women to get pregnant. You know, it's difficult for men to get women pregnant. So it's a whole different thing than it was when I was growing up, where it was like, you know, be careful, you're going to get pregnant. Now it's like, gosh. So hard. In fact, I remember we were at this vegan event, and this Japanese scientist doctor, he's an MD, he just works at one of these fertility clinics. That's his job. And he was telling me how, you know, these fertility clinics are everywhere now and how people just, nobody can get pregnant anymore. You really got to go to one of these clinics and have your sperm or get somebody else's sperm or have the egg put it somewhere or whatever they do. It's very elaborate. Because people just don't get pregnant the usual good old way anymore. They're too sick, and their sperm counts are too low, their eggs are too malfunctioning, their bodies don't work right. I mean, the whole thing, it's just amazing. I mean, a lot of the, especially the industrialized world, their birth rates are just way below, replacement. Like Japan, for example, in Europe for the most part. In the United States also. So anyway, the point is, I guess, is that, you know, birth rates are being, you know, the ability to have babies is being attacked through vaccines and poisons and all it's all poison, basically. You poison people and these things don't work. So I think it's important to be aware of that, and she's sounding the alarm about it, and she's not the only one, but she's one of the main ones. And, I think it's concerning. My feeling is in the big picture, life is far stronger, and it's not, you know, life isn't only possible on one planet, right? I mean, there's lots of, it's far greater than we can imagine. I mean, like in the Buddhist teachings, They have the word kiliocosm, C-H-I-L-I-O-C-O-S-M, but it's basically this idea, which I think is in a lot of the Eastern traditions in general, that we live in a vast universe of countless realms of places where we can manifest and live and so forth. So it's beautiful to love the earth and to take care of it, and this is, you know, but I think, you know, for some reason there appears that there are these forces that are trying to destroy the carbon-based life forms, you know, the like humans and animals and plants. That's, you know, the whole global warming thing. I mean, they're saying carbon is bad, right? I mean, that's the foundation of life. It's like, sunlight is bad. You're going to get sun, go, you know, stay out of the sun. Don't, you know, reduce your carbon footprint. I mean, these are the two most wonderful things are sunlight and carbon. Without carbon, there's, you know, you always want more carbon dioxide. The more the better, in terms of growing food and having an abundant world. So the fact that, you know, there's this rollout of a narrative that there's too many people, we should reduce the reduce population. Carbon is bad. All these things, and to get poisoned, you know, it's good to get poisoned by medical poisons. We're being pushed into that, and I'm not sure what the underlying bigger picture is. If there's a, you know, some people talk about the ancient biblical kind of Luciferian hatred of the divine, right? There's forces that just hate life and love and celebration, and they want to do it better. They want to get rid of the life that God made and create their own, which will be a silicon based. You know, it'll all be robotics and AI and, you know, this whole transhumanist thing. You know, just trying to get computer chips into people and to you no longer have human beings. Change the DNA. I mean, the stuff that World Economic Forum is saying. I mean, they come right out and say it. You know, that humans are. Yuval Noah Harari said it very clearly. Humans are just hackable animals, and that idea of having free will that's over. You know, he says this very clearly. You're just animals, and there's no use for you. I mean, what are we going to do with all you humans anyway? We don't need you anymore. You know, those ideas are so incredibly satanic, diabolical and counterproductive, because we are magnificent creative expressions of life, and yet we're seen by certain beings as livestock, right? So that's, if you read my new book, Food for Freedom, the whole idea is we need to evolve beyond seeing cows and pigs and chickens as livestock, or we're going to be seen as livestock. We see that happening. So this, I think what we're seeing with the changing of the DNA, because you can own, you know, that's the whole point. I mean, you cannot own any natural DNA being, but if you change their DNA, you can own them. You can own them as a rock or a stone. You know, they're just an object. So genetically engineering animals, you actually own that line, and you can do that. Now humans, if our DNA is changed, you know, we could be owned as objects. So I think it's about, you know, being smart enough, you know, or not, I don't like that word smart, but being aware enough that we don't fall for these things, and then be vigilant, you know. I mean, the main spiritual teaching for thousands of years has always been the same thing. It's always been be vigilant. That's it. I mean, that's the essence of spiritual teaching. Be vigilant, right? The ego is always trying to deceive us. Other people are always trying to deceive us. We're constantly trying to be deceived. We deceive ourselves. We think I'll be happy if I just buy this or if I just do that. You know, we have to be vigilant. There's nothing more important than that. So, being really vigilant about what we're eating, what we're saying, who we're hanging out with, you know, what we're doing with our time, how are we spending our precious life, our precious time here. But I do think it's important, no matter what, to stay joyful and positive. We have that choice. And not, because what these dark forces like is for us to feel despondent and to give up and there isn't any hope. You know, we should never go there, because we are far greater than any material force. We are the infinite sky that can never be harmed by these material clouds that are coming and going. We're manifesting a physical vehicle for a few decades. We're not this vehicle. And we have to really understand that at a deep level and celebrate it, so that we're not afraid of whatever happens to that. You know, so it's important not to let our vibratory level reduce in the face of these kinds of things. To just even know even more that we savor even more the beautiful squirrels and we see the best and, you know, do the best. To think, you know, that idea of think globally and act locally, you know, create a little food forest where you are, or create community, or create beauty around you where you are, and do your best to just send it out, because ultimately, you know, life is triumphant. So there's a challenge here, right? We signed up for it. We're here. So how do we respond? You know, that's the question. You know, so we see all this. Okay. How do we respond to that? And that's the question that no one can answer for anyone else, right? Each one of us will have our unique response, but that's one of the reasons we get together like this once a month, to really look into these issues. And so I appreciate you bringing that up, Ann, because it's, you know, I put these resources there for a reason. I think they're things that are we should be aware of. I'm all in favor of being aware of everything. You know, I mean, trying to really be aware, but not dwell on necessarily, not allow ourselves to be, to dwell. Some people like go vegan. All I think about is the terrible suffering of cows, and they become morose and miserable because that's all they think of. So I always say, you know, it's good to be aware of the terrible suffering of cows and pigs and chickens and humans, all this. But remember, there's a lot of other beautiful things happening, and we can be part of that and build that. We need to build the positive. But it's good to be aware. We have to be aware, I think, really, of the other stuff. It's, you know, so Natalie just said having a daily meditation. Yeah, that's really important too. So entering the silence where our consciousness is not merely material, and where we realize ourselves a little bit, get a glimpse of the feeling of just our being, consciousness, letting our mind, developing the ability to let our mind become quiet is, I think, really important also.
Somebody, I appreciate that, Will, because that life and divinity and love have to be stronger than all of this satanic.
Right. Yeah.
They have to be stronger. They have to win out, and that if we are, like, I was really despondent for a while last night, and if in that state of, like, almost like helplessness or being a victim is actually fuel for the dark forces, so.
Exactly, right. Yeah,
well,
it is.
That's so helpful, Will. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Anne. Thanks for bringing up a great question, really. Thanks. Tammy, you've had your hand up for a while there, so.
Hey. Hello, everyone. Sorry, I've been a mad artist today. I'm going to actually have an art show.
Really?
Yeah. My partner, I consider him a real artist, and he's always saying to me, I really love your art because you're untrained and you just... So, anyways, I was kind of mad into it. Do you want to see a couple? But that's not what I wanted to say. I'll just show you.
Yeah, I'd love to see a couple.
Right,
why not?
I'm just working on this one right now.
Wow. I'm going to change the view so I can see it a little better.
The woman in spirit there, with her spirit there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's called, the art show is going to be called Our Living and Dying Earth, Dancing in Our Shadow and Light, because everything's about that. Another painting I just completed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say is I truly do believe that light is always stronger than dark. Gabriel's Cousins has a really good COVID protocol. I think it's really important to be on a really good iodine, like relatively regularly. I know that a lot of people don't do supplements, but I think iodine is one of those things that seems to really, really help with everything. A lot of people that I know that are getting sick a lot. My daughter was vaccinated. She is a nurse, and I got her on iodine spirulina, and she hasn't been sick in 3 months. So those two seem to be really good things. But I really do believe deeply that that light is always, always stronger than dark. And, you know, Gabriel, you know, used to tell his students that we're 99.something% light. So when the dark does come in, if we don't turn in that direction, it doesn't stand a chance. So whether we subscribe to that or not, it gives me a lot of spiritual joy to just know that my job is to live in spiritual joy. So that's my job.
Right.
So,
your job is to live in joy.
Yeah. Everything else is a bonus.
Right. But it's beautiful you're also creating art to kind of express that in a nonverbal way too. Great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. I see there's something here. Somebody wrote, Davi. Oh, thanks, Davi. Yeah. So, that's another good point though. There are protocols. There's quite a few different ones that people have been recommending using, just to kind of cleanse and feel better and so forth. There's, Nacho Canace is one you've probably heard of. It's supposed to help with the spike proteins that the vaccines are kind of forcing the body to make and so forth. So, so I think it's good to be aware of that. And just besides all that, the, like you just said, you know, really cultivating a positive attitude. And beyond positive, I mean, there's positive means, then you've got negative, but like, so it's sort of beyond duality in a sense. Like we have this good and bad, but then beyond that even, just to pure being, sort of the non-dual awareness that there's only infinite life and light, actually, ultimately. And there's quite a few stories of in the spiritual healing traditions of miraculous things happening all the time. I mean, these things happen all the time. People heal of things that people say is impossible to heal, or they get, somebody comes up to them with the intent to do them harm or rob them or whatever, and the being has a high level of awareness and just sees the beautiful being instead of just being afraid, and there is no violence, right? I mean, it just doesn't happen. You probably, I think I've told that story about the martial artists, you know, the younger son and the middle son and the older son. You know, I'll just tell it quickly because I think it's a good one. The father was testing the three martial artist sons, this Japanese samurai back in the samurai days. And so the test was for the younger son, for the sons to come in the door, and then he had a samurai warrior hidden behind the door who would attack them as they came through, and he was going to test to see how good they were at defending themselves. And so the youngest son, who had the least practice, comes walking through the door, and he gets attacked by this samurai warrior, and he just gets hit. I mean, he gets hit and knocked down, and it's a lot of trauma and blood and everything. And so that's the youngest son. The middle son, when he comes through the door, he gets attacked, but he's such a great martial artist, he just blocks it and flips the guy and throws him down. And so there's a little bit of violence, but not that much, because he's really well trained. And then the oldest son, who's the most training, he gets to the door and he doesn't even come in. He just stops and he says, I can feel something here in the energy. And what's going on, Dad? What are you trying to do? And the father has to admit that he was testing him, and he has a samurai warrior behind the door. And so his intuitive awareness put him at a level where there was no violence in his reality at all. And so I think it's the same thing with us. You know, it's the training that we go through is somewhat on the level of physical and understanding things, but a lot of it really is just training our consciousness so that we can see the best beyond good and evil, in a sense, to see the truth in everything. And that's really something that people have done. There's many different traditions. There's traditions within Christianity. I mean, Christian Science, for example, is a whole tradition of that, spiritual healing in the Christian Science tradition. In the Buddhist tradition, there's trainings in the Hindu yogic traditions. There's lots of trainings. And if you read autobiography of a yogi, for example, there's all these stories, one after the other, of these things happening where people are not harmed. So I think the best way forward is to raise our awareness, but then also every day to do the best we can to forward the vegan message, because I think the vegan message is really the foundation of everything. We're not going to have the possibility of a world of kindness and freedom for us as long as we're going to continue to be enslaving and abusing animals. So the more we can just share the vegan message with others, that's a great, great, great gift. And then also couple that with our spiritual practice. And then, like Madeline said, if you can start growing a little bit of food, getting, you know, being prepared in case there is supply chain disruptions and so forth, the more we can decentralize. The whole key is decentralization, as you know. Like, centralization is, that's the enemy of freedom. And so the big push is to centralize information and money and power and control and medical everything. So don't just try not to depend on central, any kind of central authority, as much as possible. And then be intuitive, you know, connect with your inner guidance system to see what you should be doing, you know, with your time, because that's something each one of us has as a unique possibility. Maybe we can create community, or we can, where we are, help to create community where we are. I mean, there's lots of different possibilities, but I want to thank you. Thank you, Tammy, for that, and thank you, Anne. Does anyone else have anything? Let's see, whatever else. There was the, how are we doing? Yeah, we still have, actually, we have some time. So I was going to talk a little bit about some of the resources. Let me just look quickly. Yeah, I mean, the big news this month really is that the new book is out, and so I want to thank all of you, those of you who have bought it and started reading it, or you know, leave a review on Amazon. That's really helpful. It's available through Amazon on all these different websites I have listed. It's also now available through Ingram, because we're being the publisher ourselves. We were going to use Vegan Publishers, but it was getting so delayed, and he finally said, you know, you can publish it yourself if you want. So I said, all right. So we're publishing it ourselves. So it's available through Ingram, which means it's available through any bookstore, anywhere in the world, basically. And so I'm going to work some more with Ingram and see what kind of other things. Because Amazon, you know, Amazon is where 80% of the books in the world are sold through Amazon. So you've got to, in a way, go through Amazon. But Ingram is the other big one. They've been around for, you know, a long time, 50 or 60 years. And so any local bookstore can order from Ingram. And, of course, people can order from us directly, either individual copies, or we have discounts on quantity. If you want to order 5 or 10 or whatever, I'm happy to sign them. And then so that's the big news. And then the interviews with Carol Saunders that we just heard about, and also with Yurneya Tomsic, who's a very interesting woman because she's a PhD microbiologist who, as soon as the COVID thing happened, she believed in it, but then she said, wait a minute, they're using PCR tests to try to test for COVID. And she's been using the PCR test in her laboratory since the 1990s. And she knew you cannot use the PCR test to test for a viral infection. You can't do it. I mean, if you do it, you're lying. And they still say the PCR test is the gold standard for COVID. So it's a total farce. I mean, she knows it. She knows it. And she works at the City of Hope Hospital in LA, you know, it's like one of the biggest hospitals in the whole country. And as a researcher, she's a researcher, and she's been able to keep her job, even though she's hasn't really hidden her views. So anyway, we had a good conversation because she's really understands the biology and the toxicity, really, of the pharmaceutical products that have been pushed and really forced on people over the last few years in really a criminal way. And what happened to the vegan movement and all that stuff. So she understands that. So we had a good conversation, and we'll probably have another one because we have more to cover. And Madeline and I were recipients of the Homo Ahimsa Award, which was really beautiful because that's our good friend Judy Carman wrote the book, which I hope you've all had a chance to look at, called Homo Ahimsa, and the whole idea of evolving to a more compassionate species we can be. It's almost like really we're trying to birth a new species, because Homo sapiens, we give ourselves double credit for our great wisdom. We're eating all these animal foods, and it's really not wise at all. So the whole idea with that is to just do the best we can to create an alternative. So we were very touched and honored to get that award, because the result of all these years of traveling around and giving talks. I was trying to count them up, it's over 4,000, I think, in the last 35 years, and all over the world. So it's been great, though. What else are you going to do? I mean, it's such a wonderful opportunity to try to help people make these connections. There's a few other interviews. We did a lot of interviews. There's also the Sage Circle Alliance, which you can find out more about, which is a vegan, a new online vegan movement to help people talk about these ideas and do, you know, so I'm part of that and doing interviews for them. And I also did if you're interested in seeing the Opening the Intuitive Gate workshop, which we do, we did an online version with Karen Ramsey, who's a raw food vegan teacher, and she has a class, and so we did it for her class. So that might be interesting to see. And we did another piano and flute. Every morning we do music together here, and I play the piano, and Madeline joins me on the silver flute at one point. So we're putting those out now and then too. And then we have all these all this very interesting all this interesting stuff. So I guess you can go through it. A lot of good things are happening. I mean, the vegan movement is moving forward in many ways. There are people rescuing animals. There are people spreading the message. Spain has just abolished the National Bullfighting Award, for example. There's progress being made. But a lot of the things are really going the other way. I have to say, like this thing, I mean, we've spent quite a bit of time at Joshua Tree National Monument in Southern California, and Bill Gates is funding this project, and other people too, not just him, but to create this gigantic solar project down there, which would just destroy all the Joshua trees. I mean, it's so funny because I've always been a pro-solar guy and pro-green energy, but the more I research it, the more I realize it's another one of those things. You know, it's like evil always doesn't look evil. It looks good. You think it's good. You know, oh yeah, we can, you know, green energy, you know, and then you look into it some more, and in a way it's good. I mean, we have solar panels on our roof. I have not paid for electricity for 10 years at this house. You know, we have not paid a penny in electricity. It all comes from the sun. So I like that, you know. I mean, I think it's good, but that's decentralized. We're just doing our own little house. But these big centralized projects where they destroy habitat and the desert tortoises are all getting killed and, you know, these big things, and wind energy is terrible. These wind farms are massive. The irony is it takes a massive amount of petroleum to make these windmills, and they only have a limited lifetime. Then they have to throw them away and make new ones. And it takes huge amounts of wood, special balsa wood. They have, you know, it's a whole deforestation going on because of balsa wood that needs to be used to make these blades of these windmills. And the Tesla cars even, you know, it takes so much. These batteries are really resource intensive, and there's a lot of slave labor and lithium mining, copper mining, nickel mining. I mean, there's so much mining that has to be done, and these cars are so heavy. They're much heavier. They're like trucks. So they're damaging the roads, and they're wearing out tires much faster, causing a lot of pollution. The rubber particles are actually very toxic to breathe in. So it's creating a lot of much more rubber dust from these heavy cars that are burning through tires much faster than normal cars that are much lighter. And this whole push for solar cars or electric cars, which I was so in favor of at one point. I remember watching the film Who Killed the Electric Car and was thinking, oh yeah, electric cars really would be great. And then we see, but wait a second, what's going on here with these electric cars? You could never charge up batteries fast enough if everybody went over to electric. I mean, it's kind of like a completely impossible situation, actually. And so then he realized, well, wait a minute. So, like I say,
Why is it being pushed so hard? Because of climate change, anthropogenic climate change. And what's that all about? And then you say, so now you can't drive far. You can't drive anywhere. If everybody has to have electric cars, it takes 3 hours or 6 hours to charge up your car. So you drive, then you got to wait 6 hours. And if you can get a place, but I mean, if everybody went to it's really, I've read some articles on this. It's really kind of it's never going to happen. I mean, unless something changes. But so it just has this eerie feeling of what we did to cows and pigs and chickens. You just take away their ability to move anywhere, and then they're enslaved. They're imprisoned. You can't go. That's the definition of enslavement, is the inability to travel. So, but they're getting us to want that. We want to not be able to travel, so because of climate change, we want to be good people. So our goodness is weaponized against us. That's been the playbook the whole time. Is our natural caring and our natural compassion and our natural sense of trusting authorities is weaponized, and we start to criticize anyone who doesn't go along with these narratives that have really been concocted by David Rockefeller. I mean, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and these people with huge amounts of money that actually are running the media. And do they really have our welfare at heart? And yet that's the thing we have to really understand. So, it's been very liberating, I think, for me personally, to see that we can actually let go of a lot of these fear things that everybody's afraid of, being afraid of viruses. I mean, this whole realization, even Dr. Michael Yeadon, really a highly trained medical doctor and scientist. He was the vice president of Pfizer. He's really come out now saying that not only he's saying that there wasn't even a virus at all. I mean, there was never any virus. It was all something else, probably 5G. Because what happened? I listened to this interview the other day of a woman, who in California, she said when the whole COVID thing happened, she went out and she was walking around and no one was anywhere. Everybody was inside. All the streets were deserted except for these white trucks that were out there building 5G towers. As soon as that thing happened, because that's the only thing, when we travel, Madeline and I go on these tours, what we're amazed at is how these 5G towers have cropped up like flowers after a rainstorm all over the country, everywhere. Not only all over big cities and all along the highways, but even in little towns, there's these big ugly 5G towers are like everywhere. And I just heard an interview with Michael Yeadon, with Rainer Fulmich, the German lawyer, and he was saying that's the end game. I mean, the 5G towers, these towers, the electromagnetic poisoning is what he said. He thinks, from hundreds of interviews he's done with top experts in all these different fields, that it's the electromagnetic radiation is really the thing. That's their game. That's the end game, because that can actually, it's a military technology that is being used to control people. So it's important for us to be aware of that and do what we can to clear, not be poisoned electromagnetically. Now there's all this poisoning they're trying to do, and so again, if we're not aware of it, then we can't defend ourselves. but there are possibilities. I mean, there is, for example, it's a small thing, but in Nicaragua, there's a completely EMF-free village that's being built. People are going down there and say, all right, we're free of EMF. Well, and we do things here. Like we have grounding mats that we use. Like I have a grounding mat under my computer. These grounding mats, I think, are a good idea. I have one on where I sit, so that the, and I think I have,
in the resources, I have an interview with Dr. Henry Ely, who talks about this. But it's probably a good idea to look into it, I think, you know, grounding mats so that we're not getting, taking on too much of this electromagnetic radiation, which is spewing more and more with Wi-Fi and from these towers and from dirty energy, you know, just in the walls of the houses that we're in. It's good to get a meter. Like, we have a meter when we go around in our van, we actually check. And we have all kinds of little things, doodads. There's a company called Defender Shield that makes things that protect from that. And so I think it's unfortunate. I mean, it would be great if this wasn't happening, but but we're in a sense, we are in a war against conscious, loving humanity. So to it's important to be aware of these things, I think. And not to be taken down by it, but just to be aware that our freedom requires us to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant and do the best we can to be proactive and get outside. You know, I'm so glad, like, where we live, I can take a swim in the lake every day, you know, and we can go out and work in the garden. And we have you can get it. I think it helps. We have a home shield. It's now, do you know about the home shield? I should maybe put a thing up, but it's made by a vegan guy, actually a friend of ours in Florida. It's the website, I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention it one more time, freshandalive.com. And you can buy, it's called home shield, but he had to discontinue that. Because it disperses the chemtrails. It really, we don't have chemtrails here. We have one of these things. It disperses chemtrails in a 75-mile radius. And so he had to stop advertising it. He never even said it did that on the website because he knew. He just said it's good. It harmonizes all the EMF fields for a 100-foot radius in your yard and your house. And so we got one and put it in the garden, and we feel we feel that it helps. I mean, it makes a scalar wave, which is a non-physical wave, so you can't measure it really very well scientifically. But anyway, he got such severe death threats that he had to take it off the website. So it's not on the website anymore. You can't. And so we had people that were buying them, friends of ours and stuff. We told them, and then they told us it's not on the website. So now it's up on the website again, but it's a secret. It's a secret link. I can put it up. But you can buy something like that. I mean, it supposedly disperses chemtrails. I don't know if it really works, but it seems to work where we live, because if they do come by with a chemtrail, it's like gone within, you know, usually within an hour. It's just, the sky is blue again. So, I think there's maybe some possibility. There are always possibilities to defend ourselves. And some of it we have to do with, maybe physical things like that. Some of it we can do also with our consciousness, to just dwell in a sense of love and harmony, and be proactive. Like, maybe play music, right? Or do art, or and meditate, and, you know, get in nature. You know, be proactive. Don't overly. It's good to be aware of these things, but don't overly dwell on it like it's some terrible thing. We have to celebrate our lives. Every day is precious. And I think I'm over out of time here, but I'm glad that I had a chance to touch on a few of those points, because it's really important, I think, to be as aware as we can as possible. Oh, Madeline is coming. She wants to demonstrate something, I think.
I like to show you the greens here. So how do we do that? Can you get it somehow?
Let me turn the light on too.
Yeah. We have here kasha, and then the greens, and then some herbs on top. So let's see. Maybe, can you?
You hold it.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna. She wants to demonstrate from our garden. Okay, move it. So move it. No, that. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, that was beautiful. Oh wow. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
That is gorgeous.
Olive oil and tamari on top, and then it's kind of a little saucy. Can you see that? Like here.
Beautiful and gorgeous. Delicious.
Yeah.
Anyway. Beautiful. Thank you.
telling you, I'm a lucky guy. I get every meal is a work of art. So
does she have a on the YouTube video?
What was that?
Does she demonstrate on the YouTube, on her YouTube channel?
Tell her. We as you know, we've got quite a few.
50.
YouTube. 50 videos. But we'll probably do some more, I think. You know, it's always fun to do some more cooking videos. Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen.
Is that one on the YouTube video?
Yeah, that particular one's not. But
but a lot of others. That's so simple, you know.
This is a variation on a theme. It's just some leftover kasha with some steamed greens on top. You know, it's pretty simple.
Wow.
She usually does more fancy things.
That looks yummy.
You know, that's just for me. It's a simple thing, you know.
But she's, it's simple.
I get lots of more complicated things too.
Yeah.
She made Google Hops a while ago.
It's also on YouTube. So just go and check. There are 50 videos.
Right. All right, everyone. Well, it's time for us to wrap it up. I really want to thank you all for all the efforts you're making to help bring the vegan message into actuality on our planet in the face of all these forces that are trying to enslave animals and enslave us, but we know we are victorious ultimately. And it's good to, it's so good to come together and remember the truth. So hi Judy, good to see you. Let's say our prayer together. Yeah, feel free to unmute yourselves and put on your video and if you like, and we can say it together, the prayer for the circle of compassion. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Ready? Compassion
and circle the earth
for all beings
everywhere.
Compassion circles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Beautiful. Let's do it one more time with feeling.
Compassion circles everywhere.
Much love to everybody. Stay in touch if you have any questions,
and
we'll see you on the first Thursday of June. Much love.
Bye. Great meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Om Shanti.